to say to you, whether you're here for the very first time or whether you're here week after week, there's a reason why you're here today. And God has something special for you, something for you to learn, something he wants to challenge you with. And so I just want to encourage you by that.
Good morning, Timberline. Good. I'm glad you're awake. Today, I've come before you to tell you a story. Now, I'm not going to tell you just any story. It's not the Iliad. It's not the Odyssey. I'm going to tell you my story. I'm going to tell you the story of how I grew up. If any of you knew me when I grew up, you'd know that I'm passionate. I'm passionate about everything I do. I'm passionate about the little things, and I'm passionate about the big things as well. I grew up in a very religious family, a family that taught me right from wrong. I obeyed my parents. I ate what I was supposed to eat. I stayed away from the wrong crowd, if you know what I mean. I just didn't get involved with that group. But most of all, I found it extremely important to follow the rules. Everything that I was told to do, I did. Anything that was against the rules, I didn't do. And purposefully, I kept myself on the right path. Now, as I grew older and as I began to mature, I learned I liked to work with my hands. And I enjoyed sewing and I enjoyed all sorts of other crafts. But I also had a passion for the Lord. And as I had this passion for God, people started to take notice of what I was doing. People started to realize that I had something a little different, a little special. And so they trained me in the Word, and they trained me about God and taught me what I was supposed to do. And I loved that because it was rules, and it helped me to get on better in life because I followed those rules. Now, as I grew older, I learned about this group. You may call them New Age, but they were just a little different. They were a little off. And I didn't know what it was about them, but I really didn't care at first. They're just another religion. It's okay. I can stay true to my God, and everything will be fine. But, as you know, I follow the rules. And I learned that these people, this New Age group, was breaking all of the rules. And I got furious inside. I got angry. These people weren't listening to the authorities, and so they made me very frustrated. But not only that, not only were they breaking the law, they were speaking publicly and showing acts of rebellion against the rules. And people were following them. It made me so angry. I went to the authorities. I marched in, and I said, I know where these people are. I know where this New Age group is. I know what they're doing. If you follow me, I can take you to them, and we can catch them, and we can arrest them, and make them pay for the things they've done. And the authorities looked at me and appreciated my tip. And I said, sure, you show us where they're at and we'll take care of them. So they got me a few men to come with me. And we started on our journey. I knew that these people were staying in a city not too far from us. A couple, 50 miles or so, maybe a little more than that. We started traveling. And as we were traveling, just as I could see the city, I was just getting close, something amazing happened. As we were walking into the city, this dazzling light surrounded me. But not just me, the men in our group as well. All around us, there was this beautiful, extraordinary light. I didn't know what it was, but it was amazing, but altogether terrifying at the exact same time. I was frightened, and so I fell to my knees, and I heard this voice. It boomed and it echoed, so I hunched down lower. But the voice sounded familiar. I know I'd heard it before, but I was still so frightened that I stayed where I was. And the voice said to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I went, "Oh no." I realized what was happening. And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Oh, and I bowed even lower. I closed my eyes and covered them, and I could see the light all around me. It was so bright. And he said, "Go into the town that you're heading to, and I will tell you what to do." And just as that beautiful, brilliant, dazzling light had come, it left. And there I was, laying in the dirt. But what happened was I became blind. I could no longer see anything. Have you ever been in the dark and you put your hand in front of your face and you can't even see your hand? That's what it was like, except it was worse. Not only couldn't you see, but there was this weird sense of loneliness. I couldn't get over it. It overwhelmed me. The men around me realized what happened. They hadn't seen the light, but they heard the voice, and they picked me up and found that I was blind. So they dusted me off, and they took me into the city. And when they took me into the city, they took me to the house of a man named Judas. And they set me there, and there I stayed for 3 days. During my time there, I had a vision while I was laying on the bed. I had a vision that the Lord was going to send somebody to me to heal me. And his name was Ananias. Now, as I was laying there in the bed, I did not eat, nor did I drink for 3 days. I heard from Ananias later that this is how what happened when the Lord came to him. The Lord came to Ananias and he said, "Ananias," and Ananias was like, "Yes, Lord." And he said to Ananias, "I want you to go to a man from Tarsus. He's staying in the house of Judas, and his name is Saul." Now, my reputation was well known across all of Judea and Samaria. People knew who I was, and Ananias knew very well who I was. And as a Christian, he said, "Lord, I've heard of this Saul of Tarsus. He persecutes your saints in Jerusalem. Are you really going to send me to Saul to heal him?" And the Lord said to Ananias, "He is my chosen vessel to reach the nations. But I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And so Ananias submitted to God's will and left, and he started on his journey to the house of Judas. Now, I can only imagine, I was blind at this point, but I can only imagine Ananias walking into the room, seeing me laying on the couch blind, sort of sneaking around the corner, observing, maybe even waving his hand in front of my face. And then he did something spectacular. Not just spectacular, he did something amazing. He put his hands on me, and he said, "Brother Saul," and I sort of jumped. He said, "The Lord has sent me to make you well and to baptize you and so that you may have the Holy Spirit." Then something phenomenal happened. Something like scales fell off of my eyes, and I could see again, and I just embraced Ananias, and I thanked him. I thank the Lord. And then we went outside and I was baptized immediately. And then I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember earlier, I said I was passionate as a child and as a young man. And I continue to be passionate, but I was passionate for the Jewish faith. I was passionate for the law and the rules. And God turned me around 180 degrees the other direction. And he gave me a passion for the gospel and a passion for the lost and those who needed to be saved. It was pretty amazing. Now, if you remember back to when I was laying on that couch, blind and could not see, lonely and lost, I kept thinking, how could the Lord use somebody like me? I've done it now. I've blown it. This is what I deserve. This is where I should be, blind and helpless. But the Lord restored me and picked me up. He dusted me off and regained my sight for me. He did these amazing things so that I could be a witness to the world. I said I was passionate about the Jewish faith, and he used that in me. He made me take that knowledge of the Torah and the scriptures that I knew, and he made me use it to go to the Jews in the synagogues and preach that Jesus had come, that the Messiah was here, and that he had ultimately fulfilled all of the scriptures in the Old Testament. Then he sent me to the Gentiles, and not only to the Gentiles, he sent me to the normal Gentiles, just your everyday people, and I planted lots of churches, but then he sent me in front of governors and rulers and authorities, and ultimately, he sent me before Nero, the emperor. And I got to have a witness before all of these people for Jesus' sake. And you may be looking at me right now and saying, Saul, there's no way. If you knew what I did, if you knew who I was, you don't know who I am. I don't care if you've been sexually immoral. I don't care if you've been religious all your life and are just stuck in that. I don't care. Who knows what you've done? God does. And he doesn't care. He's forgiven you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I say to you, anybody can be used by God. If God can use me, a Pharisee, out of all people, a person who studied the law, who mocked the name of Jesus, if he can use me, he can use you too. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've been putting this off, if you've been saying, oh, I can wait, no, you can't. Jesus can restore you like he restored me. He brought me from the furthest, lowest point of my life and lifted me up and gave me joy. He can do that for you too. He can lift you up. Now, as I said in the beginning of my message, I'm Saul. This was my story. This is how I came to know Jesus. This is how God used me for powerful impact in ways that I didn't even know. All because God picked me up and said, I can use you. Even where you're at, I can use you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would be over us. God, help us to remember that you love us so much. God, help us to remember that no matter what happens, you care for us. God, I pray that you would be over Timberline. God, if there are people here that are feeling down and they just don't know where to go, God, they're just lost. God, I pray that you would be over them. God, give them comfort. Send your Holy Spirit to them to comfort them. Lord, if there are people who don't know who you are, God, who've never heard a testimony of your saving grace, God, I pray that they would receive you. God, I pray that you would work through us as a church. God, help us to be bold. No matter what our past was, God, help us to get over our past and realize that you have forgiven us completely, no matter what we've done. And God, because of that, we're thankful for Jesus. God, we're thankful for his sacrifice on the cross, his ultimate and final sacrifice that paid for us. God, I pray that you would Renew in us our salvation. Renew our joy and our passion to share the gospel. Because it's all about Jesus. And it's all about spending eternity with you forever and ever and ever. That's why we do this. Lord, it's all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let's give Jacob a hand, would you? Thanks. Great job. So I want you to think about something. Jacob told his story. What's your story? Are you a rule breaker? Or are you a rule follower? Which one? If you would tell your story, would you be able to identify with Saul? Something for you to think about. And here's what I want you to know. No matter whether you're a rule breaker or a rule follower, God has a brand new way for you if you haven't already found it. I know many of you have found it, and that's fantastic. I want to tell you a little bit about next week. Next week, I'm going to bring a message about free time. We're going to talk about free time. I want you to think about it. Do you have free time? Do you have enough? Do you have too much? How are you supposed to spend your free time? Are you spending your free time the way God wants you to spend your free time? The way you want to do it? Does someone else dictate your free time? So I want you to think about that. And next week, we're going to look in the Word of God, and we're going to spend the morning, the message, talking about free time and see what the Bible has to say about it. And I know some of you probably think you don't even know what that word means. And maybe some of you have so much time on your hands, you don't know what to do with it. So I'd like to invite you to stand to your feet, if you would. We're going to close in a benediction, but I'd like to invite Elsie and Jeff to come up, and they're just going to be available right up front here. They'd love to pray with you. Anything on your heart that you just like someone to take a little bit of time and pray with you, they would love to do that. Elsie and Jeff love to pray. So let's bow our heads. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen, and go in that peace this morning. God bless you.